I'm here with Jim Clark, Executive Director of the Henry Clay Memorial Foundation, and Cameron Walpole, Manager of Tours and Education for the Henry Clay Memorial Foundation. Thank you both for being with us today. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
So tell me about the Henry Clay Estate and what you guys have going on over there.
Well, I think a lot of people know it as one of the more beautiful places in downtown Lexington, a 17-acre estate, including the mansion, which is a museum now. We have tours regularly, Tuesday through Sunday. Traditionally, it is focused on the story of Henry Clay and some of the other occupants of the house, like the McDowell family that followed. And we also recently became an arboretum. So we have been focusing more on the landscape that Henry had designed. So we're looking at how do you tell the complete story of Ashland and the people who live there, and while focusing on the legacy of Henry Clay as a great statesman, great lawyer, and also an entrepreneurial farmer who helped shape a lot of the agricultural industry of Kentucky and had a tremendous influence on that. So, and that then provoked us to think about how do you tell the complete story without addressing some of the issues of the enslaved who worked for Henry, because while his primary cash crop was hemp, which was incredibly labor intensive. So Cameron and our curator, Eric Brooks, started delving into the history of who actually was working on the estate and allowing Henry to go off to D.C. for 50-some years. Obviously, there were other people tending to his business.
It certainly is important history to highlight. What are some of your efforts to do that? I know that you have a new tour coming up.
We do. So we have a local history trust fund grant administered by Kentucky Historical Society, and we got that in 2018. And what that grant is doing is it's allowing us to create an African-American history tour. So we are partnering with some community partners from the University of Kentucky and Black Soil, a nonprofit here in Lexington. And we're creating a tour that really focuses on the people who lived and worked at Ashland, not just the Clay family, but those who were either enslaved by the Clays mm-hmm. or those who were employed by the McDowells in later generations. And we're really excited about this because we're going to be able to tell individual stories. So staff at Ashland, even, you know, predating me, have done a lot of research. Like Jim said, they've delved into the lots of different archives. And we've got these individual stories that we're excited to tell.
What is some of the history of slavery at Ashland?
Well, most major estates in Kentucky at the time would have operated with house slaves as well as field slaves. So we do know that in particular, one of the house slaves, Charlotte Dupree, also known as Lottie, sued Clay for her freedom when he was Secretary of State. They had brought her to D.C., and for reasons that are unclear to us, she was motivated to sue for her freedom, and we can tell that there's a sense that there were broken promises mm-hmm. made to her when she was sold to him from another owner. And her case received, of course, incredible attention because it was, you know, Secretary of State was at that time the second most powerful person in the country. And it was a case that lasted, what, over a year?
Yeah.
And actually came down to whether or not she was a person. And they ruled that she was not. She was his property. So he then sent her away to New Orleans to work for his daughter down there. And then she eventually returned to Ashland. And years later, Clay finally freed her. So she is the most documented slave that we have on file. And what we're trying to do is find other stories. And we have some anecdotes. And when people have visited the estate during Henry's time, they may have referenced certain slaves that were on the estate or that they encountered. But again, it's very piecemeal. And that's one of the sort of investigations that we do is trying to find those references and tying them to the enslaved, of trying to build a bigger, more developed picture.
That's such a heartbreaking story that you tell about Lottie, but also, I mean, incredibly brave of her to do, to take on somebody of his stature at that time was just really incredible. And so, you're looking for more stories like that, I guess.
Absolutely. We're looking for more stories. So one of the ways that we're doing that is we're creating this public listening session. And that's going to be on August 24th at the Lyric Theater, 10 a.m. We are inviting Lexingtonians, people from the general vicinity. I don't care if people come from all over the place. But we want them to let us know if they have any connections, familial connections to Ashland. So if they, through oral tradition or through documentation, have found that people who were enslaved or employed at Ashland are part of their lineage, we want to hear from them. We want to capture those stories and make sure that their narratives are part of our larger narrative that we're telling at Ashland.
Have you heard from any of these kind of people yet?
Well, over the years, the estate has been visited by people who would let us know that their great-grandfather worked on the estate. Our curator, Eric Brooks, has done a great job of sort of tracking that. And we know of one family in particular, the Hummins family, actually had a reunion. And we know that they trace their family back to the McDowell period. So that would have been that they would have been employed by the McDowells, which are the grandchildren of Henry Clay. Mm-hmm. So we know that there's more stories out there, and we also want to broaden our network of connections because we know other people are doing research. Some are for their own particular families, but other people like Yvonne Giles, who's a great oral historian, has collected a lot of information on the Black community in Lexington and its development and their contributions to Lexington and Kentucky.
I'm Samantha Morrill, and if you're just joining us, I'm here with Jim Clark, Executive Director of the Henry Clay Memorial Foundation, and Cameron Walpole, Manager of Tours and Education. Cameron, tell me more about the tours and the African American history in the Henry Clay Estate.
Yeah, so we are so excited to be able to offer these new tours because Ashland for a long time hasn't been Henry Clay's Ashland. It's been Lexington's Ashland. So we're looking for new ways to make the stories more inclusive, more accurate, and, you know, kind of tell a broader narrative. So as Jim has said earlier, we had a lot of stories of Henry Clay and his family, but they are only a small part of who lived at Ashland. So we've got stories of courage, of heartbreak, of resistance. We want to talk about not just the work that these people did, but the lives that they led and the impact that they made on not just Kentucky, but the nation. So we're just really excited to finally start sharing those stories. And we're also really excited to bring in more Lexingtonians, more Kentuckians to be interested in and learn from this history.
So how do you plan on incorporating these stories into the tours?
So this tour is going to be an indoor-outdoor tour, but it's going to be a little different from our normal tour. If anybody has taken a tour at Ashland since 1950 when we opened as a museum, you probably entered through the mansion's front doors. This tour is going to enter through one of the side wings of the house, and that's because we're going to be walking in the footsteps of African Americans. They wouldn't have been welcomed through the front door, so we're going to be taking their paths through the house, walking in their footsteps, and really kind of walking through their lived experiences.
And that's one of our challenges is to dispel this idea that if you've taken the tour in the eighth grade, you don't need to come back. There are a lot of different ways to interpret Henry Clay's legacy. And in addition to the research that we're doing now on the story of the African Americans at Ashland, we have developed and are running a tour focusing on the women of Ashland. So that documents 150 years of the evolution of women's role in society from Lucretia Hart Clay, Henry's wife, who was the dutiful mistress of the house that enabled him to go off to D.C. to be a great politician, but she ran the place and was very much behind him to allow him to achieve his success. And then you go all the way to the late 19th century of Madeline McDowell Breckinridge, who was one of the leading suffragists in the country. She helped establish the right to vote movement in Kentucky, but also she was very active at the national level. So here we go from, you know, someone who stayed behind the scenes very much in order to get her husband in his political career established, to a woman who believed that she could change the community and the nation in which she lived by pushing for the right to vote. But she was also a proponent of public education and of public health care. And so she took her sort of what she gained from being a Henry Clay descendant and pushed through an agenda that changed Lexington and Kentucky and the country.
Practically speaking, for anybody out there who has some history with the Henry Clay estate, you've asked them to bring memorabilia, photographs. What are some of the things that they should be looking for if they're going through their attic or basement or barn?
I would say any letters that you have, any court records, if you have diaries from your ancestors. But a lot of these sources were not written. So one of the challenges to learning and researching about African American history in Kentucky especially is that a lot of source material wasn't created just due to, you know, their status as either enslaved or oppressed in Kentucky. So we are also looking for oral tradition because that's just as valid. And we're really excited to kind of delve into those stories as well. So if you don't necessarily have a piece of paper that says that somebody who you are descended from was enslaved or employed at Ashland, that doesn't matter. If you know in your family that that story has been told, we want to hear that story and we want to include it in the narrative that we tell.
If people want to find out more about the organization, where can they go?
They could go to our website at www.henryclay.org or come visit us and take a tour. We're always available.
Jim Clark, Executive Director of the Henry Clay Memorial Foundation, and Cameron Walpole, Manager of Tours and Education. Thank you both so much.
Thanks, Samantha.